Let's start here. I know that the American Soybean Association's come out with their priorities in the next farm bill. Give me an overarching answer, some thoughts on what are your guys' priorities?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to be happening, we're sure, between now and the startup of getting the farm bill off and running. But ASA is trying to take the advantage of this opportunity and get a head start. We know that there's going to be some, no doubt, some congressional changes, some as well as the Senate committee and the House Ag committees are probably going to change somewhat. We don't know what, but we do have our priorities. And, you know, it actually began several months ago. We began by internally educating our board of directors and our state soy affiliates, our state associations. We wanted to hear more what the farmers really thought we needed to be seeing in this upcoming farm bill. And overwhelmingly, one of the first priorities that our farmer growers here across the Midwest said Title I safety net. In other words, crop insurance. That's a big issue because that's one of the things that we as farmers have to deal with every year, whether it be too much rain or not enough rain, as well as other things that affect our ability to produce. And not only does it provide our agriculture with subsistence and being able to carry on, but it also helps provide, the food security for what this country needs, especially during these geopolitical issues that are going on around the world. And we hear all different kinds of rumors about what's going on or what's not going on. The safety net is the number one priority for our producers.
Ronnie, we talked a little bit about before we hopped on the interview, but how does crop insurance, especially this year with the wide ranging and differences in weather, planting conditions, you name it, we haven't even gotten into the summer, so we have no idea what harvest is going to look like. But how does this conversation in writing the next farm bill, what's the importance of crop insurance specifically related to the challenges we're seeing now?
Well, obviously, we have such a small percentage of the in agriculture, less than 2% of the people are producing agriculture products, or I shouldn't say products, but farmers out there now producing raw products. And so we've got to find a way in which we can maintain that security, year to year. And as you well know, I mean, there are so many drastic changes in the weather patterns. And in this day and age in which we live and we see shortages of various things around the world, not necessarily counting out agriculture and that, but in a lot of ways, we've got to find a way in which we have food security in this country. And one of those ways is maintaining a good crop production through crop insurance, because we do have to deal with all these uncertainties. And, as much money as we put into a crop every year, including myself, if we didn't have a way to ensure that and protect that investment, 1 year and you could be completely out of farming, period. And so that's really important that we have that Title I, that crop protection within our next farm bill. And I'm sure that we will. I think it's going to need to be tweaked quite a bit because obviously we've got different changes in our commodity prices. And, from my standpoint, our inputs have just in some cases tripled in order to put in a crop. So we've got to find ways in which we're able to protect that investment.
What are some other priorities that you guys have come out with?
Well, conservation programs are always big. I mean, farmers, number one, foremost, we are conservationists by heart. We know the importance of protecting what provides us a living and not only our generations, but the generations to come. And so conservation programs are certainly a priority for us, but we do believe that they should be incentive-based, not mandatory, but incentive-based, so that farmers are willing to be a part of those programs. And I think that is the case now. I mean, I've seen so many changes in my 40-plus years of farming when it comes to conservation practices, whether it be strip-till, whether it be no-till, whether it even be cover crops that we're using nowadays. These are programs that farmers are most willing to adapt. It does vary by region, I will say that, and ASA, American Soybean Association, represents many states, and there's many different ways in which those farmers within those states, grow their crops. So, not all farm programs or conservation programs in particular fit everybody. One glove doesn't fit everybody. So I think that's something that needs to be considered in this upcoming farm bill as well.
There's the conversation right now whether conservation practices that you just laid out should be tied to crop insurance. That conversation continues. How does ASA view that?
Well, again, no, nothing mandatory. Farmers are conservation-minded, as I said in my comment a while ago. But something that's mandatory, provided crop insurance or connected directly to crop insurance, like you said, there's a lot of talk on that. And there has been some, under the current administration, some provisions like that, you know, about some incentives possibly to grow after wheat, soybeans more, and give some kind of a incentive or reduction in their crop insurance premium to try to incentivize that. And I think that ASA is supportive of those types of ways of doing that. I don't believe that something that would be a mandatory is something that would be very palatable to our growers.
Ronnie, as we kind of wrap up here, I'm just curious, tell me about your operation. How are things going, and where are you guys at in regards to the planting season?
Right. Well, you know, this has been one of the better years that I've seen in the ability to get things done. We've had just the right kind of weather. We've had some rain. We've had some great growing periods. My location is actually in west central Missouri, just east of Kansas City, about 45 miles. And I do obviously grow soybeans. I also raise corn. I raise a little bit of wheat. And I also have some other things that I do agriculture-wise. I do have a cow-calf operation. So I'm a pretty much a typical farmer, Midwest farmer. But we have had some really good growing conditions here. My wheat crop, by the way, I know that wheat is a big issue right now across the world, considering, as I mentioned a while ago, some of the political issues that are going on in other places of the world about food and security for food for the world. But wheat crop looks pretty good to my area. I do know that in some areas it's not looking so well. But, you know, the American Soybean Association represents soybean producers, but I will say that most of those soybean producers also are diverse in their operations, just like I am. So that's basically what I do. I am a family farmer. We've been connected to the land for a long, long, long time. And so I appreciate the opportunity to be able to do what I do. And I feel like I'm doing something that's really important. And I hope that your listeners understand that, too. And I'm sure that they do. You know, everybody needs to eat. Everybody needs the kind of products that we're producing out here in agriculture. And we're certainly hoping that this next farm bill is going to give us encouragement to continue to do so. You know, some things that I might do a little sidetrack here and some closing comments. One of the things that we as producers also realize that, you know, the connecting of our farm bill to the nutritional programs, which are very great for so many people that are hungry and in need in this country. We do believe that that needs to continue. We also appreciate those that are there on both the Senate and the House side, on those agriculture committees that understand the importance of that program, as well as being able to, you know, get a good farm bill going here coming up in 2023. I certainly hope that we're able to get this farm bill moved forward like we did the previous one that we had the last time this came around.
Ronnie, last question that I've got, kind of appreciate the last answer there about nutrition. Maybe tying it back to your operation, you talked about the wheat. How's emergence for corn, soybeans, conditions like that right now?
Well, right now in my area, and I'm going to say I could represent, without going too far out of state, I'm going to say within probably a 10-county region here, looks like most of the corn is planted. It's up. It's growing. It looks pretty good. I've seen some corn as tall as about 8 inches. And I've seen some corn that's spiking up. So we got a range there, but it still looks very good. Soybeans, I'm going to say that probably we're in the 70 to 80% planted range would be my guess in my particular area. I know for me, I'm probably upwards toward 85% done with soybean planting, looking really good. And I certainly hope that your listeners and the farmer listeners that you have a great year These prices are pretty crazy, what we've had over the years that I've been farming. You know, with in my area, we got over $11 wheat. You know, soybeans are hovering in the 16 plus range, and corn is right at $8. Those of us that are producing also understand. And I also do a little bit of fertilizer business on the side. And I can tell you for a fact that in some cases, fertilizer, that input alone has tripled in its price. You know, going from in the area of $350 a ton that we had maybe a year and a half ago to upwards of almost $1,100 a ton at one time this spring. So those are always things to consider. And that's another reason why we've got to have a food security, a safety net with our crop insurance and Title I. That's extremely important for the upcoming 2023 Farm Bill.
Ronnie, anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. I do appreciate you chiming in and wanting to talk to us as producers and, you know, listening to what's really going out here on the farm. And I can guarantee you, like I said, I've been doing this for over 40 years, and I've seen the good and bad and the ugly when it comes to farming. But I've always enjoyed it because, as I said in one of my previous comments, I believe that what I'm doing and providing food for, I'll say a safe food supply for our country and this world is something that I deem as important, and I've enjoyed doing it.